It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock where I am. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And it is not 10 o'clock where he is. In fact,
it is not.
It is more like 7 o'clock where he is. Adam's been tooling around the western area in the U.S. with the family for spring break and is joining us today. I'm going to have him describe some of all the fun they've had because the pictures sure look good. But we'll get into that after we talk a little bit more about the market and so on, which is, yeah, I guess, ostensibly the reason we are all here. Well, for all you regulars, thanks for always being there. We depend on you, and hopefully you will keep liking us enough to keep coming back because that's what makes us go. If you're new to the show, either found out about it by accident, left your radio on or whatever, or if somebody told you about it or if we told you about it, stick around for the whole hour. We don't promise a whole bunch of things in life, but we do promise that you will learn something in the course of an hour, and I don't think we've ever failed to produce that. So the lines are open, and if you call us, you get put on the air immediately, 904-222-8255. Don't be afraid. We do not bite, and don't think that your answers are or your questions are too easy. Just remember your job out there. It's to make the host look good. The easier the question, the better we look. So you can help us out, and we can help you out. Besides, if there's something you don't know, I promise there's a lot of people listening who also don't know. So without going much further, I've got a smile on my face. I'm sure Adam's got one, too. We're going to talk about another good week in the market. So take it away.
Yeah. For sure. And I'm going to go ahead and take credit for it.
I knew you would.
I do my best work when I'm on vacation. Uh-huh. And clearly this week is an example of that. We've been wrapping up our spring break. We're out here in beautiful Napa Valley, California, visiting some family. And it's been a great week of vacation and apparently a great week in the market as well. So I think the two are correlated. That's just my guess.
I've been telling everybody here, Adam, that it's a show about money, so I was going to have you describe all the things you've been doing because you're spending a bunch of it.
Yeah, traveling with a family of four is not as great of a deal as it used to be. I can verify that, but we've had a good time. We've managed to find a few deals here and there, particularly at In-N-Out Burger, which I think is the chain that inflation forgot.
Yeah, the anti-Five Guys.
Yeah, exactly. We've been able to feed the family there for under $30 for all four of us, and that just doesn't happen anywhere, including in Florida. So I was really impressed by that. They've done a remarkable job of keeping their costs down, and I don't know how because they operate in some of the most expensive parts of the U.S., but kudos to them for sure. Everything else has been super expensive, though, so just that was the one exception. It was a really good week despite kind of going into the week a little trepid with the Fed speaking, and the feeling was that they would all but put the chances of any kind of rate cuts in May to bed, and they did that, but the market went up anyways. So who would have thunk that you'd see it's one of those weeks where what you expected to happen happened. But the reaction was the exact opposite of what you would have guessed. So I don't know why that happens, but it certainly does sometimes, and this was definitely one of those weeks. The Dow ended the week up 1.9%. The NASDAQ was up 2.1% and the S&P up 2.2%. I believe it was the best week this year, so that's a milestone. The S&P and the NASDAQ are now up over 9% this year. The Dow's up 4.7% for the year. NVIDIA and semiconductors continue to lead the way higher, with NVIDIA up almost 85% this year. I had at least three clients say, no way I would buy NVIDIA in January because it was up so much last year.
I was one of those, too.
Yeah, I'm kind of on that train as well. I don't buy individual stocks as a general rule, but yeah, that didn't look super attractive at the time. Well, we thought wrong, so... The market apparently continues to love the AI-inspired boom, and we're still riding the middle of it. The rest of the semiconductor industry hasn't done quite as well, but they're still up almost 30% this year, so not bad. The Fed wasn't the only central bank to address rates this week. The Bank of Japan officially moved rates into positive territory, and it was the first hike for them since 2007. And they've been negative for longer than that, I believe. That seems hard to believe. I mean, we've talked about this many times, but how do you look when you're evaluating investment options? You look at Japanese debt and you say, okay, I can buy this now for $10,000 and get back $9,800 in a few years.
But it's guaranteed.
Deal. Yeah, that is true. It is guaranteed by the full taxing power of the Japanese government. But it's just baffling that they've been able to keep it negative for so long. And it's no wonder that their economy has struggled to get out of the recession that they've been in forever.
Did you see what the new target rate was for their interest rates? It's a range.
I did. Is 0 to 0.02 or something?
It's 0.0 to 0.1. That's the range.
Okay.
But it isn't negative. Although zero is pretty close. But they got to do more.
Closer than that.
I think that's too little too late. Personally, we'll watch how it goes because I've been following it since 1987 when they started getting in trouble. And everything they did didn't work. And so they did more of it, and that didn't work. And then they did it again, and that didn't work. That's just one of those typical government, you got to do something, got to do something, and they have no idea what to do. You know, maybe that's changing.
Well, the problem is, I think the problem is much greater than just their policy on interest rates.
It is exactly right.
I actually think it's their policy on immigration that's hurting them. They have a aging population and not enough young people to support the aging population and replace jobs and fill jobs and continue to generate economic activity. And I don't know if they'll ever change that. They're very, very much a proud and traditional culture, and it's not something that can move on a dime. So.
Yeah, it's a problem that runs deep in all developed countries. It's just that they're the poster boy for the whole problem.
That's correct.
Most of us are growing, but it's because of immigration, and that has its own potential problems. And I think you're seeing right now that uncontrolled immigration might bring you numbers, but it's not going to bring you success.
Yeah, there's a happy medium in there for sure. I think if you look at there are probably some European countries that are in the same boat as Japan, and then there's probably some that have done a more moderated program of immigration that are in better shape. So I think there's tons of examples out there of how to do things right and how to do things wrong. And I think Japan at this point is officially in the wrong category after 30 years of financial struggles.
China is too, but they don't get as much play.
Yeah, China's a whole different ballgame, though.
Yep. They got numbers.
They have numbers, and they have a lot of poverty. So lifting people out of poverty can be sort of the same thing as immigration, bringing them into the middle class and making them taxpayers.
Right.
So they have a different solution for now. Eventually that will change. But anyways, that's an interesting topic. International stocks, I will mention, were actually up this week, not quite as much as their American counterparts. But VXUS, the All World Except U Index, U.S. index was up over 1%, so it was a good week, or kind of all around the world.
Yeah, the growth in Europe is starting to show some spark, and that's going to help a lot of things, in my humble opinion. So I'm very interested. I've been looking at the percentage of international that we hold ourselves and in other people's portfolios, and I'm not willing to cut it at this point. So we'll see how it goes shortly. Meanwhile, we're going to take a quick break, pay some bills, and we'll be right back. And this is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And for those of you who missed the original segment, Adam is in California. And I got to tell you, Adam, this connection is one of the best we've ever had.
Yeah, well, we're in the city of St. Helena, which is in a little bit north of Napa, and we're right downtown. So it kind of, I figured we wouldn't have any problems today.
No, it really sounds good. I'm very happy. And great. I do want to get back. We'll do a few more little market things, but I think you should spend a little bit just describing where you went and what you've seen. And if you've got any tips for anybody traveling, my only big question, though, was what are you paying for gas?
So it was right around $5 a gallon for 87 yesterday. So it is really expensive. It was a little more expensive along the central coast, the further away from the ports. But now that we're in the Bay Area, we noticed it was a little bit cheaper. And I think that has to do with them importing fuel into the Oakland area, perhaps. Distance from the source, maybe.
Could be. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, there were a few other things that happened in the market. The earnings season, you might call it a little premature, because 24 companies have reported, and that's hardly worth anything, except it's interesting because 22 of those beat on earnings. It's also interesting because only 54% beat on revenue, and the guidance is turning down so far. This is all very preliminary. I don't think you can do a lot about it, or should do a lot about it. But there are continuing signs that things are great, and continuing signs that things are not going to be great. So this is how long has it been? A year and a half? We've been confused.
Yeah, about a year and a half. Well, we maybe longer, but on this particular topic, about a year and a half.
Exactly. So far, the market looks like the people are still buying. The volumes are good. The activity during the day is strong. One of our gurus does the activity in closed hours and compares it to activity during the open hours, because events generally happen after the market closes. And this has been an interesting period of time, because during the day, the market has been gaining most of its ground, which means people are consciously investing. That's a good sign.
Yeah, they're accumulating shares right now. That is a good sign. It shows optimism.
It does, and I'm not sure why. The other thing that I was kind of stunned with was the housing numbers that came out this week.
And there were some big housing numbers this week, yeah.
And yet the affordability crisis is in full swing.
Existing home sales increased by 9.5% in February, and housing starts increased by 10.7%.
And yet the people say, that the experts say, for what they're worth, that it's one of the most unaffordable times in history, and look what's happening. They're buying.
That would show optimism about the future. We saw the Fed say there was targeting 3 rate cuts this year, so maybe people are thinking they'll refi into cheaper loans in the future. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly what's causing that to happen, but the numbers, I mean, that looks like a rebound when you see numbers that big for a month.
Indeed. I got to sneak in the trivia question today, which I sort of overlooked. And we always do have one, as everybody knows, and it's brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. This one is about younger people and older people and interaction. 47% of parents say that they subsidize their over age 18 children. That's a big number to me. Almost half of households with over 18 children are subsidized by their parents. Of those parents who do the subsidies, what percentage of those know and admit that they're cutting into their own retirement future? What percentage? It's between 0 and 100, obviously. So that is the question. All right. Anything else on your mind in the market?
Not in the market, but I did a little, since I was in Napa, mm-hmm. I decided to do a little research on the wine industry.
Good.
And talk a little bit about that. The wine sales actually dropped dramatically in 2020. I don't know if you knew that. It was coronavirus.
That.
Yeah, it's noticeable. The coronavirus pandemic really hit wine sales. And I think I didn't dig into it, but I suspect that maybe they weren't hurt as bad for drinking at home, but through bars and restaurants, obviously, that would have taken a big hit. But they've been rebounding ever since. They still haven't reached that 2020 level, or actually 2019 level, but they're projected to next year. In 2023, the sales were around $327 billion worldwide, and in 2024, growth is projected to go higher than the levels in 2019, reaching $353 billion globally. By 2028, that number is supposed to be $437 billion. The Napa Valley produces just 0.4% of the world's wine.
Really?
That was surprising. Yeah, 0.4. And it actually, this is even more surprising, it only produces 4% of California's wine.
Wow.
Yeah, 4%.
We should have been using that as a trivia question. I'd have missed it by a mile, both of them. That's funny.
Despite that small percentage, the wine produced in Napa accounts for 25% of California's total wine revenue.
Now that, so, I believe.
Yeah, so they're not producing a lot, but what they do produce is the best in the U.S., arguably, and clearly people are willing to pay for it. And I thought that was really interesting. The wine industry in Napa employs about 44,000 people locally and 190,000 jobs nationwide, and there are 700 different grape growers in Napa, 475 physical wineries, and more than 1,000 different wine brands.
Wow. Busy place, huh? I haven't been there in a long, long time. Well, a long time.
I mean, just driving in yesterday, it's almost everything you see is related to wine outside of a handful of small businesses. But, I mean, every farm is a wine-growing place. And it's you can really tell that it dominates the economy here.
Hmm. Well, they're lucky they've got the perfect climate, I guess.
Okay. No doubt about it.
Well, we've only got a couple minutes till the break, so I thought it'd be fun just to sort of follow your route, see what you've seen and what was impressive, if anybody gets a chance to go out that way and take a look around.
Sure. So we came up with this trip because my aunt lives in St. Helena. That's who we're staying with right now. And we tried to design an itinerary to end up here, and we're flying back after this weekend. And so we started in Vegas because it was the cheap and easy to fly into. Went to go see Cirque du Soleil. That was amazing.
By the way, his kids are 14 and 12, is it?
15 and 12, but 15
and 12. Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry.
Yep, and we've actually found Vegas was, I mean, obviously there's, you know, things that go on there that are not kid-friendly, but we were able to keep it very kid-friendly. There were tons of people with their families there, and I was pleasantly surprised by how easy and nice that was. We drove over to Santa Clarita, just north of L.A., and went to a Six Flags park because the kids really wanted to do an amusement park. That was amazing. The weather was great. It was perfect. We then drove to Santa Barbara. We were going to drive the Pacific Coast Highway up to Monterey, but it's actually closed due to a landslide they had about a year ago that they have not been able to get completely fixed yet. They're working on it, but it's not quite ready. Should be ready sometime this summer, I believe. So we took the inland route, went to Monterey for a few days, did some. We did an amazing kayak trip on the bay, saw harbor seals, sea lions, and sea otters all in the same trip, which was really cool. It was that we were just down from the aquarium, and I was telling my aunt that I don't think we actually need to go to the aquarium. We saw everything in real life, so that was really cool. And then drove up to Napa yesterday, stopped briefly in Marin County to get a great picture of San Francisco from a hillside across the bay, and then came here.
Nice. Very nice. Well, it's not a place that I would want to live. I know that much. And I know that for a lot of people, they put up with a lot of stuff to just continue living there because it is that nice. But, boy, have you seen a bunch of the wackos?
I mean, the people in general have been super nice.
Good.
We've been pleasantly surprised by that. And staying out of the big cities, I think, has kept us away from a lot of the problems But man, it's so beautiful here. I understand why people don't want to leave, but then you hear, you pay for gas and you hear about the taxes, and I'm like, yeah, I get why people are leaving.
Well, Napa's got a great formula for keeping people out. It's called pricing everyone out of the neighborhood.
For sure. For sure. It is not cheap here.
Yeah, Aunt Martha was there long enough. She got in very well, so she's very fortunate. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and get into the real meat of the matter right after this. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we remind everybody that lines are open, 904-222-8255. And the trivia question is still out there. Of the Americans who have kids 18 and older, about half of them subsidize those children. Of those people, how many admit that they're hurting their own retirement in the future by helping out their kids? This could be disturbing. All right, one more little California note. It just happened to be one of the little things in my stack today. Google just built a beautiful new campus, very, very modern, very, very attuned to the environment, of course. The roof line is a series of cups that are meant to gather in the water and reuse it, of course. And they spent, God, I don't even know if I got the number, but you can kind of imagine, based on Apple's campus cost many years ago. So they got it. This is in Mountain View, California. I don't know if you know where that is, Adam. I am not exactly sure.
I would guess in the San Jose area, but I do not know.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's pricey real estate, I'm sure. And they are trying to enforce now, after the COVID, they want people in the office 3 days a week. We do have a caller. I want to just get this in quickly, and then we'll go to the phones. They want people to come back 3 days a week. So people are coming into the office now, and it seems that this world's most fabulous technology company has a slight problem. The internet in the office stinks, and most people have to go outside to get a connection.
That's ironic.
I had to bring that up. All right, we have. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning.
What's happening?
Good, good. Enjoy listening to
y'all. Thank you.
I'll take a crack at the trivia.
Sure.
I think that'll be a fairly, semi-high number. I'll take a guess and say 58%.
I'll tell you what, that's not too bad. It's a little high, but you are on the right track. That's
alrighty.
This is scary when people are admitting that helping their own kids is going to cost them retirement income. This is just not something that a planner wants to hear very often. And that's the truth. So what else can we do for you, if anything?
Keep listening, and okay. I just enjoy your show when I can listen. So thanks for all you do.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. You have a wonderful weekend.
All right. Likewise. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. That's kind of scary, isn't it? That you think how many people are willing to do that?
That's just the ones that are willing to admit it. The actual number is probably north of 58%.
You know, it could be that Mark's closer to right than the article I'm reading about it because of that factor. You're absolutely right. Wouldn't shock me at all. All right, well, we're getting really close to tax time. I don't know how many people are really thinking about it yet, but I think it's starting to hit the urgent button for most households. So I got this little thing from last week, actually, when Christine was in, and I didn't get to it. But I know a lot of you are TurboTax types and the various and sundry like that. Well, Uncle Sam now, with all of our newly spent budget money on the IRS, Uncle Sam is going to now offer to do your taxes for free under certain conditions. Let's just take that on its face. I have a quick and overriding comment about that whole concept. No, thank you. How's that? Who wants their taxes computed by IRS? Let me think. Nobody. Although people will. I know they will.
Hold on. What does it guarantee that you're going to be audit free?
I didn't read anything like that.
I mean, it should. If they're telling you, then, I mean, are they going to go back and audit their own work? I really doubt it. So there might be a hidden bonus in there if you do it that way.
We'll have to keep an eye on that as the season goes on. All right, who can use it? Taxpayers in 12 states, Arizona, California, Florida, Massachusetts, Nevada, New Hampshire, New York, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Washington, and Wyoming. Okay, they seem a bit random, but we're among them. You also have to have a simple tax situation. That means W-2 employees. We've been spending quite a lot of time lately talking about the difference between W-2 employees and 1099 or gig employees. They have not opened it up to the gig people yet. It's only on W-2. So if you're in one of those 12 states and you can show your income from being W-2, no other earned income, then the IRS will compute it for you for free. And something about that just leaves me cold. I'll let everyone find their own reaction to it, but I just, for some reason, I don't like it at all. You know, what if they act like a police department? Oh, we're getting close to the end of the month, and we need to add some revenue. You think they'll miss a couple things if you're doing your taxes right then? I don't know. Those are more or less accusations with no basis at all, except my innate discomfort, I guess, with having IRS involved in anything except what I submit to them. So that's that. Speaking of gig workers, last week I promised everybody I would report on the law that was due to take effect the next day, the one where the IRS and the Biden administration and so on are trying to eliminate as many gig workers as possible in favor of making all those people W-2 employees. It did go into effect, and in fact, it went into effect retroactively to a week, to March 11th. I have not been able to find any definitive reactions yet, except to say that many lawsuits have been filed already. As the cases start to be adjudicated and I can get more, I'm going to keep you posted as best I can about the progress of the gig worker law, because it's going to just ruin a lot of people, many of whom are young, many of whom are old, and many of whom are people who use Uber, for instance. And Uber and Lyft and companies like that are directly being targeted by California first and then by the feds. So far, they're sticking together. Oh, and as I reported last week, by the city of Minneapolis also. So Uber and Lyft have told Minneapolis, go ahead, implement this. We are out of here. So if you live in a place like that, or if this law goes through and starts really being, if they're being really strict about it, just know that one of these days you're going to be standing on the corner trying to get a ride to the airport or something, and it's not going to be there because of government interference. So be warned, people. This is what can happen when the government has this irresistible urge to, quote, do something. But for now, it's in effect. You can imagine that changes will be coming, and will be coming soon. Speaking of such things, the government, again, particularly the Biden administration, they're trying to fix Social Security without fixing Social Security. Excuse me a sec. A little something in the throat. What they want to do is get an increased revenue stream, not raise the age of retirement, and not hurt the lower and middle class. What do you suppose the proposal will do? Got a guess, Adam?
Well, if I was a gambling man, yep, which I'm not, I would say tax the rich.
Oh, you got it. So here we go again, people. They want to cut benefits for the wealthy while they increase payments by the wealthy to fix the entire system. As I repeatedly say, the wealthy don't have enough money to fix everything. If you took everything they have, within a few weeks, the government would be just as broke as it is now. Why these people can't see it any other way, I don't know. But we just got it handed to us again at about 2:30 this morning when another $1.2 trillion gargantuan spending bill, which had already passed through the House, passed through the Senate. Of course, Biden will sign that one because it's got a big number on it. So here we go again. They took spending all the way back to, ready for this, 2023 levels. Seems to me that was maybe a year ago. And I, what was our deficit for last year? $1 trillion? Here we go again. I don't know if they can be stopped or not. It's not looking good for that. Also this week, the Supreme Court had previously ruled that it was unconstitutional to just arbitrarily reduce or eliminate whatever amount of student loan debt. So Biden did it again and came through for something like another 78,000 people. And now the total student loan debt that he has illegally forgiven is something to the tune of $144 billion. What are we doing about it? Whining, maybe. Otherwise, nothing. Absolutely nothing. It is getting very discouraging for those of us who are trying to do something right and have the country realize that we're in kind of a lot of trouble here, people. But again, we just keep losing and losing and losing, and now we're losing another congressman on the 19th, and we have almost no margin. So be afraid, America. We'll be right back after the break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we remind everyone that the trivia question is still out there. What percentage of parents who are subsidizing their 18-year-old plus children admit that they are interfering with their own future retirement? We know that 68% is high. I had to throw in the word admit it because we think probably it's closer to truth than fiction. But it's between 0 and 67%. Now we know that. So if you want to give it a shot, it's 904-222-8255. All right. How many of you, speaking of financial regrets, know that one of the most regrettable things that people admit to, again, in a very recent survey, was buying a house? Now, is that not interesting? It's sort of always been the American dream that that's what we all kind of live and strive and work for. It was to buy a house, get a piece of the rock, so to speak. But it turns out later, it's obviously a dilemma, but it turns out later on that a lot of people are regretful about it. Not really exactly sure why it's that prominent, but apparently it is. But in that same category, the part that they really object to is when they have to pay PMI. Right? I think Mark is back. So I'm going to interrupt this and follow the rules of the show, and we're going to do this again. Good morning, Mark.
Well, hey again. Hey,
yeah.
Thanks. Sorry to... Yeah, before I said 58%.
Oh, you said 58?
68.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I heard it as 68, yeah. And 58 is exactly correct. So, my bad.
Great, awesome.
And I'll fix it.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll get your full name and mailing address, and as soon as Adam gets back in town, we'll send you a little something. So
awesome.
In fact, I just got a note from my crack research department that agrees with you. She heard it as 58% also. So my problem, thank you. Well, thanks for calling correcting me.
No worries. I'm a dedicated listener no matter what.
Oh, thanks so much. I will put you on hold and we'll take care of it.
All right. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Okay. The part about buying a house, back to this, for those of you who don't know, if you don't put 20% down somehow, and it, you can fudge around this a little bit if you got the right friends and what have you, but if you don't get an 80% mortgage, if it's higher than that, you're going to have to pay PMI. PMI stands for Principal Mortgage Insurance, and it is not insurance for you. It is insurance that you pay for that protects the lender. Now, I can't think of anything much more distasteful than me paying the insurance bills for protecting somebody else. But that's the one that comes out in the survey as being the big deal. So what else do they? Some of these are not going to surprise you at all, like that one did. College and student loans. And we got into this a little bit last week with Christine, too. But there are a lot of kids that are taking student loans, and some of them actually talk their parents or grandparents into co-signing to get a better deal. But when you co-sign, you owe the money, and you can't get out of it. The rules with student loans are far different than the rules for anything else. You know, crazy Uncle Joe can forgive him. I don't know if he'll get away with it or not. But you can't get out of this. You can't even bankrupt your way out of it. So when you take on a student loan for a relative or whatever, and you're just a signer on it, understand that no matter what happens, the problem belongs to you. So be very afraid again. In general loans, debt, in other words, people wish they had not gone so far into debt, or that they had not guaranteed so much debt for other people. Very understandable. Fourth one, weddings. The average wedding costs $34,000. Now, to me, spending $34,000 on a wedding means that you have money to burn, literally, because I can't imagine doing it other than that. Adam, you threw a pretty good wedding. That didn't cost $34,000, did it?
But it would cost way more than that today, which is the ironic part.
That is ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't believe how little we paid almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, that was over NASA. Getting there was half the fun, right? But I knew you guys wouldn't have done it if it had a number like that on it. But this is very common, apparently, and it's one of the big regrets that people wind up with. So think twice. Back to the phones. Oh, is that – that's just Adam?
That's me.
Oh, you came back around?
I had to call back in.
Oh, okay.
Yep, I got cut off, sir.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Sorry about that. All right, number five, stuff. How's that? All the stuff. I have to admit, if there's anybody in the world that should plead guilty about this one, he's probably the guy talking right now. We got stuff everywhere you look. You know, all of the younger people, you should take into consideration what your parents' house looks like and all that, and just try to suppress the urge to do all the stuff. But something I find encouraging about that is that younger kids today are looking more at experiences instead of stuff. And Adam, I can say that you at least you seem to me to fit into this category very well.
Absolutely, yeah. I would much rather have an experience than have more stuff.
And that's exemplified by this week. So I think it makes a lot of sense.
You know, and it also makes sense in the way that younger my kids are. They're much more into experiences because they don't even want stuff. They have their phones, so it's not like they're playing with toys. They're either consuming media or they're out doing things. So I'd rather give them more time out doing things that rather than just sitting around and consuming more YouTube.
And I've been, you know, I got a million sayings. Everybody who knows me knows I have a million. But one of them is interesting people know a lot about a little and a little about a lot. And one of the great ways that you can learn a little about a lot is doing those experience things. You know, we always raise the kids saying, if somebody says, let's play tennis, you say, okay, you go and you play tennis. You don't have to beat them. You don't have to be great at it. But you should know the rules and the etiquette of tennis and golf and bunches of other things so that whatever opportunities you get, you don't have to make a fool of yourself, basically, and you can have some fun. So that sort of jack of all trades, master of none is not one that I like. I like jack of all trades and master of a few, very few. You got to have something you're really good at or you're not going to live a very good life. All right, number six, this one, this is what we do. Not contributing to retirements and HSAs. If there's a number one problem that'll come back and haunt you in your later years, not getting started on your retirement savings is going to be the one that most people will probably pick about the time they're trying to retire. Start early. Stick with it. Don't use your retirement savings to get your credit card debt under control, by the way. Number seven, credit cards. Too many credit cards, too much debt. And if you look at the national statistics on this right now, the inflationary environment that we live in is being handled, I guess, too much by credit card debt. That is going to impact the rest of their lives. And quite frankly, the only thing I can think of, and I've been reading a little about this too, is making a concerted effort to cut your own personal costs 10 or 20% or something like that if you're actually doing the credit cards, and then finding a way to get out of credit card debt, figuring out why it happened, figuring out how to fix it, and keeping it that way. But at the same time, you should be saving for retirement. And this is a dilemma faced by the young people. We've been spending basically the month talking about the various and sundry problems that young people have from all the demands on their cash flow and so